The Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame is brought to you by IBM, Administaff, and Aflac. This is a 2007 copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I really am glad you're here. It's good to have you here. It's good to continue to celebrate Small Business Week, as we've been doing all week long. As you know, I was in D.C. the first 2 days of this week, whooping it up on behalf of small business at my annual pilgrimage to Small Business Week celebration in Washington, D.C., helping the SBA celebrate it, and we did it. And I'm looking forward to telling you some more about what we did, what happened in the second half of the hour, and about some things that I learned, some things that I heard while I was there, and I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up in the second half of this hour. Before we get there, though, we got a new friend I want to introduce you to. Ty Freivogel is with us. Ty is a serial entrepreneur. He's the author of It's Your Smart, It's Not Your Smarts, It's Your Schmooze, and he's also the author of Seize the Century. And he's the founder of MakingSenseOfYourBusiness.com. That's an interesting website. And he's here to talk to us about how to snare angel investors. Ty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it, Jim.
It's good to have you.
Hello, everybody out there from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
It's good to have you here, Ty, and thank you for joining us. One of the things that I get a lot of, Ty, a lot of questions, are people who want to start a business and they don't have enough capital. Now, sometimes these people literally tell me they have zero capital. They got a great idea. You know, it's in their head or it's on a sheet of paper. And they really think that they're going to go to a bank with no capital, no credit, no collateral. They're going to go to a bank and get a loan. They really think, and maybe even no job, they really think that some angel investor is going to give them some money. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, you're talking about two different animals. As soon as anyone who's a wannabe startup investor with a great idea who goes to a bank, banks don't put equity, risk capital in businesses. Banks lend money to small businesses based on basically the entrepreneur putting one-third in and the banker putting the balance. So if you don't have money, you better be looking for someone who does.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many, many dynamics involved, and angel investing is a practice that's had exponential growth in this country. I would say you could almost target it at the bubble.
Well, one of the things I want to get to, Ty, is that when people start out looking for capital, you know, we got this first person I just mentioned who basically started from zero. And then you've got people who have a little business. They've got something going on. They've got some activity going on. And they start looking for an angel investor because they've been turned down by the bank. Now, are angels looking for deals that aren't bankable, or are angels looking for deals that are bankable that just need more money than the banker can put in?
Atypical. You know, if you want to look at the perfect scenario, angels are looking for fast growth companies that they have an opportunity to double their money in a short period of time. And the company has a great exit strategy, typically to a larger company before large venture capitalists come in and start to dilute the angel investor, that they're more interested in, let's say, internet high-tech companies. They're fast growers that they can look at, you know, 10 to 20% increases a year in the potential, that the investor and the angel have the same goal, which is the exit strategy. The angel can double his money.
That's a really important point.
It's high risk, high return. It's a real high risk venture. You know, you lose a lot more than you win, Jim, and that's the key.
But when you win, the win is usually big. And that's your point is really well taken about the exit strategy. I want to come back to the exit strategy in a second.
Right.
Before we do that,
let's friends and fools, as we call it. Hold on, Ty.
Before we go any further, I want you to tell us the difference between an angel and a venture capitalist.
Very good question, Jim. The angel investors typically are entrepreneurs, groups of affluent past entrepreneurs who cashed in, who have high energy, that just have entrepreneurism in their blood. They're people that want to see, typically in their own region, small businesses succeed. Mm-hmm. And are willing to put small amounts of money into incubator, startup ideas, the things that you first mentioned, companies that are they have potential for high growth.
Define small amount of money.
Typically, you won't see more than $1 million in a pool of angel investors. Yeah. You'll have five. Angel investors like to get together in small groups. You're seeing all over the country small groups get together, formalize, form kind of limited partnerships where they find someone who acts as a managing partner who will vet these deals, usually around the universities, whether it be on a biotech side or on the high technology side. And then they pull them together, they do the due diligence, and then everybody, you know, they look at the opportunity, and, you know, there are really three things that angels, they look for. Solid business plans, Jim. Strong management. I'll say that. Management, five dimes.
Right.
And a viable exit plan. Those are the three main formulas. But they typically put seed money in companies to get them started. There might be two or three rounds,
It could be something also. You mentioned high tech, but if somebody had a good restaurant idea that could be franchised, they needed some capital to take them to the franchise level. It could be something like that, right?
The one I was in for years was Nutrisystem.
Yeah,
and I was one of the original franchisees of Nutrisystem, and that's a typical example of a 1,000 small businesses.
Todd, give us your website. We need to go to a break here. Give us your website before we go.
www.makingsenseofyourbusiness.com.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance, folks. It's 20 after. Ty Freivogel and I will be right back. We're going to talk some more about getting angel investment capital into your business. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're talking with Ty Freivogel, who is the author of It's Not Your Smarts, It's Your Schmooze, and his website is makingsenseofyourbusiness.com. We're talking about how to attract angel investors and the difference between angel investors and venture capitalists. And I agree with your definition in terms of the levels that angels want to get involved in, typically less than $1 million. It could be as low as, heck, it could be an angel could come in for $5,000 if that's what you needed. But typically it's in that number, in the six-figure number. And, you know, Ty, one thing I disagree just a teeny tiny bit with you on with regard to angels. I think angels, all angels, let me put it this way, all angels are not as bent on a definite exit strategy as venture capitalists are. I mean, obviously they want to get their money back, but I think some angels are willing to, you know, see the thing out. Maybe they're even coming in with some technical advice and they want to see this thing out. And I don't think all angels are looking for this thing to go public or to be taken out by buy another round of venture capital. But, you know, maybe they just like to clip the coupons over the next 20 years.
Exactly. I think that's an excellent point, one that really needs to be discussed for a minute for our audience, because a lot of it's usually angel investing is usually regionally for a lot of different reasons, which I have in my article. But a lot of them are more philanthropic in their perception, because they like the industries that they've been in. You know, they're no longer playing in the game, but you know. Entrepreneurism just is in their blood, it's in their bones, and they love to see young entrepreneurs successful. So their first goal is to find a business that they're attracted to, one that they can either sit on the board or sit on the board of advisors. And you know, they love to play in the sandbox. You know, where
sometimes
they can be
angels
involved.
Sometimes angels bring contacts to the business.
Exactly. Two things angels are. That's why you want to find an angel, everybody, that's in your region, because the angels typically are more attracted to you. Because they're betting on management more than anything else. And they want to have access, being able to hang around, stop, get involved with the business. And that's helpful to point, because here's somebody who can lead you through the minefield, someone who's been where you haven't. And two, typically they're successful and they're well-connected.
Well, see,
and
this is where angels
become yours.
Angels tie, to me, is where somebody would want to look if they needed some investment capital. But they didn't necessarily want to be, you know, roll up and go public in 3 years or 5 years, or be bought out in 4 years or something like that. Maybe the entrepreneur who founded this company wants to run this company for a while. Maybe they want to pass it along to their children. You know, they could have a lot of different goals. An exit strategy is everybody wants an exit strategy. Ultimately, we all have exit strategies, but an angel may want to, typically, in my opinion, will have a little different exit strategy than a venture capitalist. And if you would like to keep your business for a while, you're going to be happier, I think, with an angel as opposed to a venture capitalist. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with you. Because, again, a lot of angel investors, when we're talking about individuals, we're talking about pools of angel investors where they get together in a group. They develop a strategic plan. The strategic plan is that they put in, say, $25,000 into 10 or 15 deals, looking for the one that's going to hit. You know, it's going to be the 10-bagger. Individual angel investors, and it takes a little bit of homework to find someone who's attracted to your kind of business, aren't as interested in getting out. They like feeling a part of the deal. They like
watching your success and feeling like they've accomplished something. Maybe they've got money, but they don't have the guts to do what you do. Maybe they just want to let their money be their guts, so to speak.
And there are those, you know, who collect a W-2. You know, it's like the going to a Division I college, you know, and sitting in the stands drinking beer and edifying football players. You know, they love the game as a spectator, but they don't want to be in the field getting beat up.
What is the most important thing?
You're right, Jim.
What is the most important thing to do when you're trying to approach an angel investor?
Find out who is a good fit for your business, because you can waste a lot of time going through numbers. There are a lot of resources. There are a lot of resources locally, and they're creeping up, Jim, all the time, that can direct you towards individuals that have an interest in your particular niche, you know, whether it be in a medical field. You know, there's so many interesting entrepreneurs starting to proliferate in the last 10 years.
It might also just be somebody who's interested in you, right?
It could be a mentor.
Yeah.
It could be a professor from business school. It could be your best friend in business school's dad. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be someone that, you know, you're sitting there through college and you come up with this great idea in the back of a napkin, like Fred Smith did with FedEx.
FedEx.
Got a C on his paper.
Hey, Ty, I've got to wrap it up.
Insurance company says, hey, you know, I'll take a shot with this thing.
I've got to wrap it up, Ty. We're coming to the end of the hour. Will you come back another day and talk to us some more about investors? Ty Freivogel, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called It's Not Your Smarts, It's Your Schmooze, and His website is makingsenseofyourbusiness.com. Thanks, Ty. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Quick break. Right back after these messages. 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me.
The Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame is brought to you by IBM, Administaff, and Aflac. This is a 2007 copyrighted production intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without the prior written consent of Small Business Network, Inc. is prohibited. All rights reserved.